from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
The 116th Congress convenes. A radical is nominated to the EEOC, and Franklin Graham's Facebook account is suspended during Christmas week. That's all coming up on this first week of 2019 Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This week, Tony was traveling internationally, but it was important for him to host Washington Watch Live on Thursday, which was when Nancy Pelosi got the necessary votes to become Speaker of the House for the 116th Congress. Joining Tony to put the historic day in perspective is Congressman Mike Johnson from the 4th District of Louisiana, who serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Mike was also named chairman of the Republican Study Committee, which is composed of about 150 members and is the largest conservative caucus in Congress. Here's Tony Perkins.
It's a new Congress, the 116th Congress, to be precise, and we have a changing of the guard. The Democrats are enjoying a majority with its biggest freshman class since Watergate. And Nancy Pelosi got the necessary votes, despite the rumblings, to become the House Speaker once again. Now the Democrats have a majority in the House of Representatives. Joining me now to put the big day into perspective and to forecast what might be ahead is Congressman Mike Johnson from the 4th Congressional District of Louisiana. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee and, as I mentioned, also chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Great to be with you, as always.
Well, big day on Capitol Hill as really, in many ways, just almost a flipping. Republicans in the last Congress having 236 members, the Democrats 196. Now, today, the Democrats have 235, the Republicans 199. What do you make of Nancy Pelosi retaking the gavel? What are you anticipating in the next 2 years?
We anticipate stormy seas ahead. I mean, I think it's correct that many people have forecast that, you know, the next 2 years could present some of the greatest challenges we faced in the 242-year history of our country. We have divided government. We have a bitter partisan divide in so many ways. And, you know, it's not a it doesn't look good for the next couple of years. Now, what we're going to do, though, Tony, as conservatives in the House, is we look at this as an unprecedented opportunity. We have a real responsibility. We think that we might have what could be the most important moment in the history of our group, the Republican Study Committee, which is the largest caucus of conservatives in Congress, as you know, to provide a steady voice and the intellectual firepower that we really need to defend and advance our core conservative principles. They will be under assault under the Pelosi-led House, and we're gearing up to be ready for that.
Let's talk about some of those assaults. In order to move forward with any legislative initiatives, you have to adopt rules. What do we make of the rules package that the Democrats put forward today?
Well, they've made some changes. Most notably is sort of a protective measure that the newly elected speaker has put in place to further protect herself and her office. It's more difficult to remove the speaker now. They made some procedural changes. They put in some other bells and whistles that will, from their perspective, make it easier for them to move legislation. You know, we expected some of this. Some of it is window dressing for appearances only. But they are going to try to run the table. They've made no bones about that. They basically have two agendas going forward for the next 2 years. One is to make President Donald Trump's life as miserable as possible with endless investigations of all of his personal affairs, his business affairs, his family, and everything else. And number two, to try to roll back many of the great strides that we made in the 115th Congress, the one that we just concluded. You know, we had a remarkable run in the first 2 years of the Trump administration with the Republican-led House and Senate, and now they are determined to try to unwind some of the great strides that we made. So we have an important role to play on defense to try to hold that line. But we're not just going to wander in the wilderness and play defense, Tony. We're going to play offense as well. And in the RSC, the Republican Study Committee, what we're really gearing up to do is to become a real policy shop for the next 2 years to put together our ideas, to implement our conservative values in terms of policy and what that looks like in legislation, move all of that that we can, but more realistically prepare a package, a playbook, so to speak, so that we can run and be prepared to run when we take back the majority in 2 years, which I think I have some confidence that we'll do.
Two of those issues that you brought up, I want to talk about, because they tried to kind of put a lid on talk about impeachment during the election. But today that has bubbled back up to be, looks like, a top priority for the Democrats to pursue impeachment of Donald Trump.
It is. And, you know, it was noted that Speaker Pelosi said today in an interview or sometime this morning that even the indictment of the president may not be off the table, but that's still up for discussion, I think, is what she said. Look, there's no secret that probably a majority of the Democrat caucus in the House, at least, would love to impeach the president. The only thing holding them back is the political calculation right now. They're going to place a lot of emphasis on what the Mueller investigation concludes or comes out with, which we expect perhaps in February, early March. And I think they'll make an ultimate decision at that point. If there is an impeachment proceeding, it will come through the committee that I serve on, the House Judiciary Committee, as a first stop. And we're gearing up for that. You know, I think people can say a lot of things about the president, but I don't think we've not seen any evidence at all that he's come anywhere close to any impeachable offense. So it will be an important philosophical battle, an important political battle, and one that I think will unnecessarily divide the country even further, and that's unfortunate.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Johnson, my guest. Big day on Capitol Hill, the 116th Congress getting underway. Mike, you talked about some of the advancements, and I know that a lot of people would have liked to have seen more, including yourself and me, in the 115th Congress. But a lot was accomplished. We've talked about that over the last couple of years. But one area that we've seen advancements when you look at both what Congress did and what the president did was on the issue of pro-life, the sanctity of human life, the reestablishing of the Mexico City, which the president did, actually expanding it beyond what Ronald Reagan had. Nancy Pelosi and crew have their crosshairs on those pro-life measures, not only wanting to just to eliminate what was done in the last 2 years, but really go back four decades and force taxpayer funding of abortion.
They do, and that's one of the first battles that we'll have right out of the blocks here. They've made no bones about it. You know, I think part of the problem that Pelosi has is that she has to respond to the increasingly radical fringe left element in her party, and there's this new sort of rabid progressive movement. It's a charge to the left that's being led by some of the incoming freshmen and some of the others, and they're going to do their best to push the Democrats all the way off the cliff, I think, from our perspective. So on the pro-life measures, on the defense of religious liberty, on the defense of so much of what most Americans hold dear. I mean, you look at the principles that have made us the greatest nation in the history of the world: devotion to God, individual freedom, limited government, you know, the rule of law and fiscal responsibility and free markets, all these things, human dignity and the sanctity of every human life. All of that is in jeopardy right now. Now, thankfully, we'll have a bulwark. We'll have a stop in the Senate. And of course, the president wouldn't sign any of that nonsense into law if it came to his desk anyway. But we're going to have a real battle in the House. And I think the American people need to be paying attention, because this is a bellwether of what's to come. You know, politics is downstream from culture, and this is what we're seeing right now.
You know, I never, of course, in the last couple of years, we never thought we would be talking about the Senate being the conservative backstop in Washington, D.C.
Right.
But it's exactly what it is, and Mitch McConnell, I think, is poised to do that. I think we've added some new, really good members to the Senate, like Josh Hawley from Missouri. But what do our listeners need to be doing? I mean, let's talk about that for a few minutes. What do they need to be doing to be prepared? Because we're talking about some very fundamental things: the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, those things that this administration, by inch has been able to advance. Nancy Pelosi is going to try to undo that and more.
She will. And I think that what concerned citizens, what Christians, what people who believe in these ideals that you and I articulate all the time, what they need to be doing is being very engaged. It should be a standard course of action to call, you know, your representatives in Congress, no matter what district you live in. They need to hear from you. You need to be engaged. You need to be involved on the local level, on the state level, and watching what's happening with politics and policy there in your own backyard. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility as citizens in the country, also for Christians as citizens of the kingdom. And if we're not engaged, then we're derelict in our duty. These are the kinds of things that happen. You know, we say all the time, elections have consequences. When we're not engaged, people are elected who do not share those American values, and they're pushing some other value. That's what we're facing right now.
Yeah.
And we've got to be very involved.
Now, without question, praying and participating. Mike Johnson, as always, great to have you on the program. And again, congratulations on being elected as chairman of the Republican Study Committee.
Thanks, Tony. Talk to you soon.
You can find out more about Representative Mike Johnson when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider helping Family Research Council get this year off on the right foot financially by simply clicking on the donate button. Your help can make all the difference. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. A radical, self-professed lesbian, Kai Feldblum, has been renominated for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. How radical is she? She once famously said, quote, "There can be a conflict between religious liberty and sexual liberty, but in almost all cases, the sexual liberty should win," end quote. Joining Tony to talk about this nomination is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Mike Lee of Utah.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be with you as always.
Well, first, let me just say thank you for leading the charge, because you've been one of the leading voices in the Senate for understanding religious liberty. And we've all seen under the last administration how the workplace has been weaponized as a tool against religious freedom.
That's exactly right, and it's something we've all got to be concerned about. And, you know, Ms. Feldblum's views on using government power to undermine religious liberty are too extreme, and they're contrary to existing law. This is really important for me personally. It's important for the American people generally. In my case, I'm a religious minority myself, and I'm the descendant of people who were ordered exterminated by the governor of Missouri on October 27th, 1837. Religious intolerance is something that can't be tolerated in this country. And what I see is a growing wave of a sentiment in this country wherein a lot of people are suggesting that on the basis of someone's religious beliefs, they can be subjected to adverse government decision making because of those beliefs. That's wrong. We can't let that happen. Not on our watch.
Now, are you also finding that there are some that are just saying, oh, what's the big deal? Just not understanding the importance of that fundamental first freedom, the freedom of religion?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think a lot of people see that because today's discrimination perhaps doesn't take on as much of an overtly hostile face. It's not burning crosses in people's yards necessarily. It's not necessarily attacking people overtly on the basis of where they go to church or whether they go to church at all. It is regarded as a more friendly sort of gentle nudge in the direction of just declining some access to a government program or favorable tax treatment or something like that. That is itself a form of religious intolerance, and it's one that we can't accept.
Well, let's talk about the status of this nomination, Senator Lee. You've put a block on it, which the clock ran out essentially because it is the end of the year. She has to be renominated by the White House in order to fill this role. Now, it's five members on this commission. Under this president, three should be three Republicans, two Democrats. This was kind of, one, as we understand, one of those deals where the Democrats want a particular candidate. But she's so far outside the mainstream and 180 degrees from what this administration has emphasized when it comes to religious freedom. There's a good cause not to see her renominated.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hope she's not renominated. Look, there's no doubt this is a well-trained scholar. There's no doubt that she's got the right to have the views that she has. They're well outside the mainstream, and I don't regard them as sufficiently consistent with our robust tradition of religious freedom in this country. She's written that she sees a conflict between religious freedom and sexual liberty as sort of a zero-sum game where a gain for one side necessarily entails a corresponding loss for the other side. I see no reason why that should be the case. Constitutionally, it can't ever be the case. And I think that is a fundamentally incompatible idea as far as we talk about our nation's long tradition of pluralism and religious freedom.
Well, and religious freedom obviously being clearly articulated in the Constitution as the First Amendment to the Constitution in something that we don't have to guess about. It's very clear. It's right there in black and white. What do people need to do to ensure that the workplace is not weaponized with ideas coming from people like Kai Feldblum?
Well, first of all, I think we always need to be on the lookout for those who view there as being a constant conflict between sexual liberty and religious freedom. And I do think that we should continue to encourage President Trump in choosing all of his nominees, including his nominees for the EEOC, to make sure that they don't hold these views. We have to remember that when Godzilla steps on your house, it's not necessarily that Godzilla hates you specifically or is singled out you because he specifically wants to eat you. It's because he's Godzilla and he's huge, and your house happens to be in the way. This is how government works. When government gets too big and too powerful, it doesn't bother to notice the fact that it's stepping on someone's house or house of worship. And we've got to be very careful of that.
I guess it would also be helpful, Senator Lee, if other senators were standing front and center with you on this nomination, clearly communicating that we're not going to advance the nomination of those individuals who are hostile toward religious freedom.
That's exactly right. Contact your senator. Tell your senator that you expect, whether it's an EEOC nominee or anyone else, you don't want them to have views like those of Kai Feldblum.
All right,
your
Senator Mike Lee, as always, great to have you on the program. And again, thanks for standing firm for religious
freedom.
Free
is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam.
You can find out more about Senator Mike Lee when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider helping Family Research Council start out the year financially strong by simply clicking on the donate button.
An update
Your help
with the latest
can make all the difference.
Take on
that website, once more,
issues.
Is TonyPerkins.com.
The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. During Christmas week, one of the biggest Christian holidays of the year, Dr. Franklin Graham's Facebook page was suspended. Why? Because of a post from 2016 about North Carolina's bathroom bill. Facebook blocked Dr. Graham for 24 hours, then lifted the ban and apologized. Nonetheless, Christians across America are still upset about it. Joining Tony to talk about this recurring theme of conservatives being banned by social media giants is FRC Action's Sarah Perry. Sarah is an attorney with a degree from the University of Virginia School of Law and also a degree in journalism from Liberty University. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Sarah, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Okay, Sarah, what do we make of Facebook's censoring of Franklin Graham, taking him off and putting him into a timeout for 24 hours?
Well, I think it's definitely worth noting the timing on this. So in November of last year, Facebook released its new content governance policy, which was specifically addressed toward preventing incidents that would make it an unsafe space online. While Zuckerberg stated that his desire was to prevent real-world harm, they wanted to err on the side of giving people a voice. Now, during Christmas week, Franklin Graham's post, 2 years old, as you've noted, an individual who has 7.5 million Facebook followers, who's been fondly called America's pastor, disappeared from Facebook. This was a post that was 2 years old on a piece of legislation already passed, I might add, but not coincidentally, 3 days later, the New York Times dropped a bombshell study on December 27th entitled Facebook's Secret Rulebook for Global Political Speech. And this is what the report made clear, and that's going to shed some light on what may have happened to Reverend Graham. There are 15,000 moderators working worldwide to police this, and they have content moderators that are given sometimes no more than 10 seconds. They are incentivized to work quickly and be as thorough as possible, but in some instances are actually given financial incentives to get through the material as quickly as possible. Now, Facebook is a global presence. It is used by 2 billion users a month. They are a $5 billion per profit quarterly company, and they have people who are at the very lowest ground levels of outsourced data policing what constitutes speech. I do not believe it is coincidental that on 11/15, Facebook announced their new content moderation and their content policy guidelines. And within 5 weeks, our friend Franklin Graham had a post disappear on what can be deemed politically incorrect subject matter.
Well, what's curious about this, Sarah, is that, like you said, it was 2 years old. Are they going back trying to build a case against people so that they have justification for taking them off or removing their post?
Well, all three of the big tech testifiers on the Hill, from Mark Zuckerberg to Sundar Pichai to Jack Dorsey of Twitter, have all indicated that Silicon Valley has an overt left-leaning bias. We understand that. I don't think anyone makes any bones about it. So for a two-year-old post to be caught up in that net indicates two things. Either, number one, their algorithm is flawed, and Zuckerberg and his team do use a form of artificial intelligence to perform top-level analysis to catch things in the big net, as it were. And in addition to that, the individuals that they have at the lower levels, who are then tasked with looking over the shoulders of the computers catching it, are subject to their own biases, which is much more likely, particularly considering the fact that we know some of the big left-leaning organizations have represented partnerships with big tech companies, such as YouTube through Google, such as Twitter. So we understand that there's not only a bias, they're going to the wrong people to help them content modify in the first place.
Well, and I should mention the original post that Franklin Graham put up was actually responding to Bruce Springsteen's decision to cancel his North Carolina concert over the passage of HB 2. And this is what he wrote. Bruce Springsteen, a longtime gay rights activist, has canceled his North Carolina concert. He says that NC law HB 2 to prevent men from being able to use women's restrooms and locker rooms is going backwards. Well, to be honest, we need to go back to God, end quote. That was his post. That's what Facebook went after.
The offending post, right? So that puts us up against the brick wall of one of the largest conservative speakers and evangelists in the country being surprisingly censored, perhaps accidentally, but more likely from the standpoint of that left-wing bias. And it's got us requiring ourselves to push for more transparency in governance and seek out that First Amendment standard to protect our interests if any of us use an online platform.
Well, it's going to take everyone working collectively together to make sure that freedom remains intact. Sarah Perry, as always, great to have you in the program. Thanks
so
for joining
much.
Us.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.